This is an iHeart podcast.
Have some fun
on a Wednesday,
a hump day, and we are all over the map. I don't really do interviews much, right? I just kind of prefer to talk to myself. I don't think they're good radio. Lots of times I don't think they're good radio. This one will be good radio. About half hour from now, you're complaining about the cost of eggs. I'm complaining about the cost of eggs. We rant about it all the time. What is the real story? It's more complicated than you think. Did the CIA really blow up the Nord Stream pipeline? We're going to talk about that. Yes, we have State of the Union stuff, which I'll get to in a moment. Trump's legal woes in New York are not done yet. Keep your eyes on that. Trump and DeSantis in a little spat. China's building ICBM launchers and stochastic terrorism. All that. And so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want you to imagine something. Let's talk a little State of the Union here. Yes, by the way, I'm back. Okay, I'm back. I couldn't be here last night. Every now and then, you know I do TV too, right? I do radio. I do TV. When I'm not being a world-famous author, these are the things I do. And very rarely, because the TV company I work for in Premiere, they get along so well. It's a great relationship. Everything's good to go. But occasionally, rarely, but occasionally, one takes away the other. That's all there is to it. I can't do anything about it right now. That's the way it's going to go. So let's do a little State of the Union, shall we? But before we get to that, let's bring it home. What you didn't hear is so often the most important thing to focus on. Not just in State of the Union speeches, not just in the business world, in your personal life. What didn't you hear? When my son gets home from school today, he's got a big math test today, and he's been, you know, right hovering between that A and a B in math. What a nerd. Anyway, he's been hovering between an A and a B in math. I'm going to ask him when I get home, I'm going to ask him how his day went. And if he responds with, oh, it was awesome. We had a great time at recess today. Hey, I did really well in history class. That was fun. I talked to Jimmy. We were having a good time. I think we're going to get together this weekend, mess around in the backyard for a bit. Great day, Dad. Okay. Well, I guess now I know how the math test went, didn't I? There's a lot of this last night, not just from Joe Biden, from the rebuttal. The rebuttal, there was something missing too, and the Trump people most definitely picked up on it. I will tell you that. My Trump people friends were reaching out to me today immediately about it. But let's focus on the Joe Biden for the time being. Joe Biden, and frankly, pretty much everyone who worked for him, and just about everyone who was sitting in the chamber, Democrat, Republican, they're all soulless sociopaths. You know that, right? Many of them are get into it for the right reasons, but then you get to D.C. and your soul just gets absolutely sucked out of your body. It's really, really disheartening. But these people live and die on poll numbers, on what you like, what you don't like. They don't actually listen when you go see them at events. Now, don't get me wrong, this doesn't apply to all of them. There are some good ones. But for the most part, you go see them at a town hall and at an event. And, oh, it's my congressman. Hey, Congressman Jerkwater, what do you think about this? He's not listening. He's doing something that I do regularly in my daily life. I, when someone is telling me something I'm not interested in, I will look at them and I will tune them out. But as I'm 41 now, and I've been doing this for years, I've learned how to put that look on my face that looks like I'm earnestly listening when really I'm not mentally there at all. This just happened to me in the elevator. I asked, hey, how are you? And instead of doing the normal, I'm good, she chose to actually tell me, this total stranger chose to go into this long diatribe about how she actually was, and I didn't care. So I just looked that way the whole time. Well, that's how your politician looks at you. All these people care about is poll numbers. That's what they care about. Poll numbers. What do you care about? What are the issues you care about? What don't you care about? Joe Biden understands right now full well that the cost of living is breaking Americans across the country. Even if you're not breaking from the cost of living, almost undoubtedly you're feeling it. It's one of those things where the cost of living is going up so much. The cost of all these goods and services, they're going up so much that it's starting to work its way up into the upper income levels. You know, if you were making 20, 30 grand a year, inflation goes up 2%. You feel that. The guy making 100 grand doesn't. Inflation turns into 5, turns into 6, turns into 7. Now you're starting to work your way up the wage tree for how people feel it. Joe Biden understands full well that America tuned in last night and they wanted to hear, how are you going to stop the reduction in my standard of living? What are you going to do to stop the reduction in my standard of living? And this is the kind of stuff they got instead.
So a cashier at a burger place can't walk across town and take the same job at another burger place and make a few bucks more. It just changed. But they just changed it because we...
Openly mocked. Not even really jeered, openly mocked by other people. And that cashiers and non-disclosure agreements? Remember he went off on resort fees? And he's talking about airline fees? Why? Well, because Joe Biden has the poll numbers in. He knows all the issues you care about. He sucks at. And what else is he going to say? What do you expect him to do? Spend an hour up there trying to pronounce Missouri?
More timber has been burned, as I've observed from helicopters, than the entire state of Missouri.
Now, I do need to clarify something. Joe Biden brought up, well, I wouldn't say he brought up. He brought something to the forefront that I talk to you about from time to time, so I'm going to bring it up again. And this is going to be totally unrelated to politics, and I'll get back to the State of the Union in a moment. Let's talk about you. No matter who you are, the chances are at some point in your life you will be forced to give a presentation of some kind in front of other people. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a big shot in the business world. Maybe you work in construction and you're going to have to gather the guys around in the morning and lay out the plan of the day. You're going to have to speak where multiple people with eyes and ears are going to sit and watch you speak. And this naturally creates nerves in human beings. It's just how people operate. So what you heard a lot of last night with the endless slurring and the endless shouting.
Name me a world leader who changed places with Xi Jinping.
Was somebody who obviously is suffering from severe mental decline, but also somebody who doesn't understand this. So allow me, Daddy Jesse, to tell you again. What, Chris? I'm a world-famous author. Maybe that's what I'll put for my world-famous author name on what, Chris? On the next book, if there is a next book. No, that's here. Anyway, slow down and enunciate when you speak in front of people. Kids, I know we have kids who listen to the show. That presentation you have to give in school, and I know how nerve-wracking that can be. 20, 30 kids in the class, they're going to make fun of me. What if I get a wedgie afterwards? What if my buddies do this? What if that pretty girl says this? What if that? So what do? You talk too fast because you're trying to get through it. You want to get it over with. So here we have, this is the Russia in the 19th century. Slow down and calm down. Okay, slow down and calm down. Now, that's what Joe Biden didn't address. He didn't address inflation. He didn't really address any of the things you care about. He talked about resort fees and NDAs for fast food workers. Why? Well, Joe Biden has a very, very, very significant problem. And frankly, I believe the United States of America and the world has a very significant problem. And it's a problem that's coming very, very, very shortly. Joe Biden not only is unpopular on the home front, that alone is a big problem for any world leader, be it a president, a prime minister, a king, a dictator. When you're very unpopular on the home front, when people feel their standard of living going down, it's a big deal. That alone would be enough of a problem. But Joe Biden has a twofold problem. And this is what we're going to get into a little bit tonight. I'll do more State of the Union stuff here in a second, but Joe Biden has a foreign policy problem. You see, this is human nature. Another part of human nature is when you're not at war, when a war ends, wars are horrible things. Bloody, costly, heartbreaking. They're just awful. They're horrible in every way. And when you're not at war, because war is so terrible, it's easy and tempting to just kind of forget what they're like and forget about it. But war's always around the corner. Again, the history of the world proves that to be true. And Joe Biden, through his own incompetence and the communists he surrounded himself with, may have signed us up for a big one. I'll explain in a second.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, on a hump day, the day after the State of the Union address. And look, I'm not the only one with State of the Union analysis. We'll get to mine here in a second. We got a couple of these. This one says, Dear Pink Flower, Jesse, I thought you were missing your show last night because Joe Biden was going to call you out at the State of the Union for being a world-famous author and a bilingual juggernaut. You know, I thought he was too, Chris. Honestly, I thought that Joe Biden and his team, I figured they'd already been to jessekellybook.com and ordered, what, Chris? And ordered the Anti-Communist Manifesto like so many other people have. By the way, got reached out to by the publisher. In all seriousness, the publisher reached out. They're dying at how many you have already ordered. What's wrong with you? I love you guys. More hard-hitting analysis from the Jesse Kelly Show family. This one really, really drove it home. Dear Mr. Kelly Show, I don't know if you're able to catch this, but at one point during the State of the Union address, when Biden was talking about banning assault weapons, Lauren Boebert gave him the most beautiful death stare I've ever seen. Her eyes bore into him as if her eyes could kill. And honestly, it was a bit of a turn on, and I like to think a lot of listeners would agree. Needless to say, I think she just won the bipartisan hottest woman in Congress contest for another year, and is entitled to her partially used Red Lobster gift card. He says he signs it Andrew, now an even bigger Lauren Boebert fan. So once again, the Jesse Kelly Show family with the hard-hitting analysis of the State of the Union last night. All right, let's go through a couple. What, Chris? What? Well, hold on, sir. Chris just said they can't win it 2 years in a row. I'm sorry. Are you a communist? You're saying we should, what, redistribute her hotness? And I'm not saying she's going to win it 2 years in a row. I haven't sat down. We're still scouting right now. We're still gathering video. We're still gathering pictures, analyzing all these Republicans and Democrats for how hot they are. Everyone knows women love that. But why can't she win it 2 years in a row? Why? No, you don't have to put other people up there. This is a meritocracy. I want you to think about me, Chris, like you think about Genghis Khan. All right, what, Chris? I want you to think about me and Genghis. Remember, Genghis Khan, no, not because of the drinking. Jeez, Chris. No, I want you to think about me and Genghis, because remember this about Genghis Khan. Sure, he murdered 40 million people and raped half of Asia. Let's set those things aside for a moment. Genghis Khan did away with this old system where the next son gets to be the chief and this person's daughter gets to be this. And he went to a strict meritocracy. No matter who you were, you could rise to the top. The Jesse Kelly Show bipartisan hottest women of Congress list is now, has always been, and will always be a list solely focused on who is the hottest woman in Congress. If she's still the hottest woman in Congress and she was the last time, she wins it again. If the other women don't like that, stop wearing flats, dig in, get some lipstick on out there. I don't know what the deal is. Get a gym membership. None of these things are my problem. If you want to be number one, you go earn it, okay? Don't wear flats and then tell me you want to be the hottest woman in Congress. This is an outrage. By the way, Ross Kennedy's going to join us next. Once we're done with all this idiocy, Ross is actually incredibly intelligent when it comes to supply chains and China and the grocery bill you're mad about and things like that. It's a lot deeper analysis than Biden sucks. It's going to be deep. You are going to be a lot smarter when you're done listening to Ross than you were to begin with. It's definitely worth sticking around for. He's coming up about 5-10 minutes from now. And we still have all kinds of, you know, I'm going to play some State of the Union cuts and actually respond to some of those because I realize that's the standard thing you have to do today. I just thought it was so boring. I thought it was boring. He didn't say anything like we talked about in the open. He avoided all the big issues and he's talking about luggage fees or just some kind of idiocy out there and NDAs for burger flippers. In the meantime, Trump's ex-lawyer Cohen meets again with New York prosecutors. Who has been warning you about Alvin Bragg? Who has been reminding you over and over again that even if Merrick Garland and the DOJ, even if they don't end up tossing something at Trump that sticks, New York is gonna. People lose focus on this, which is so weird because New York is so big and so important. And it's just, it's a significant part of the world, honestly, that I can't believe this gets lost in the shuffle. But when people talk about Trump's potential legal trouble, which is all bogus, by the way, but when they discuss it, it's always about the DOJ and the FBI and Merrick Garland. George Soros installed Alvin Bragg as the DA of New York for a reason, and it wasn't to prosecute actual criminals. It was to turn actual criminals loose and prosecute the political opponents of the communists, Trump being numero uno on that for the time being. Trump is in trouble legally, I'm telling you. Is it garbage? You bet it is. I hate it. It's unfair. It's not right. It's not, look, all those things are right. All those things are true, but he's in trouble. All right, we're going to get to Ross. Before we get to Ross, he's going to have some hard things for us to hear. I just want to make sure you know that. Not just about where we are and why we are where we are, about where we're going. That can be stressful. I don't want you to be anxious. I want you to be rested and ready. Part of that involves making sure you own at least a couple MyPillow 2.0s. You see, it's got the same MyPillow filler that made MyPillow famous across the planet. Everybody has one of those things now. Only now, they've added temperature-regulating thread to it. So not only do you get to the pillow that actually fixed my wife's neck issues, which I can't believe it found a way to do that. She used to walk around like Batman, and now, thanks to MyPillow, she doesn't. Now I don't wake up with my ears sweating and they're buy one, get one free for a limited time. Limited time. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, gets you the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston,
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now is my friend Ross Kennedy of Fortis Analysis. Ross, let me ask you something. Why are eggs so expensive? Because it's so easy now to just yell about Biden or inflation or whatnot, and obviously those things come into play. But the answer is actually scarier and more complicated, and you do such a good job at this stuff. Why am I paying so much for eggs?
Well, you should probably stop shopping at Whole Foods, and, you know, but if that's not an option for, you know, most people, you know, yeah, if you're walking into an Aldi or you know, depending on where you're at in the U.S., your regular grocery store, eggs are more expensive, and there's a lot of reasons for that. The conspiracy theories are super entertaining, but really what it boils down to is a perfect storm of a couple of things. Number one is avian flu. I know we heard about that a lot last year. It was the reason chicken wings were blamed for being so expensive at the Super Bowl last year. But, you know, really egg layers were the ones that were hit the hardest. And it's about 43 to 44 million chickens have either died or been culled as a result of being involved in avian flu outbreaks. And that's out of a total of 58 million. So you're talking, you know, out of 58 million birds that have been culled or killed because of HPAI, 43 million of them, very high percentage, were egg layers. The other issue that's happening here is that you've got a very real supply chain issue in the animal feed industry related to amino acids and vitamins and micronutrients, all the things that go into animal feed to keep the birds healthy. Massive amounts of disruption from that because we source about 90% of all of those additional secondary ingredients that they absolutely need to increase their egg output and stay healthy. It all comes from China, 90%. So when you add it all up, and with the disruptions in China, the lockdowns, Xi Jinping playing games on the export side, you know, Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act issues in the U.S. where major manufacturers cannot import to the U.S. because of suspected involvement in forced labor in China. You add all those things up and you've got a really serious, significant supply chain challenge that isn't going to go away in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, dang, that really sucks, Ross, because I was hoping you were about to tell me that this is all going to work itself out and I'm never going to pay $13 for a dozen eggs again. To hear you describe it, it sounds like this is a problem that may get worse, right?
It could. I mean, the biggest thing that we need to be watching on the avian flu side, H5N1, what we call the highly pathogenic avian influenza, is we don't want to see a return of that really to the U.S. at any sort of scale. Unfortunately, we have seen a few outbreaks already in the early part of this year, none super massive. But we need to keep a watch, and avian flu outbreaks tend to come in a spring wave and a fall wave. Following the migratory patterns of the wild birds, they can, you know, it can be carried by turkeys, it can be carried by geese, ducks, whatever. But any migratory animal or animal that ranges has the ability to carry it and infect a flock. So we have to watch for that. The more durable issue, and it's one of the reasons, you know, you've heard me say it, Jesse, a lot of people have, when I say food security is national security, we simply don't make enough of these value-added ingredients that enable us to feed ourselves at scale. And relatively inexpensively. And when those disruptions occur to the overseas supply chains or to the logistics, we end up in a situation where really the best response is to make more of these things ourselves. In turn, what we usually do is we start making backdoor deals with China and get them to ease up on supply to the U.S. The problem is that China doesn't really have the ability to do that right now without us completely walking back everything we've done in the last 5 to 6 years on the trade side.
Okay, again, we're speaking with Ross Kennedy. He's just so good at so much of this stuff. Ross, you say we don't make some of the value-added stuff to feed ourselves at scale. My question to you is why? Here we are, this huge country, all these resources, do we not have them? Are these bad trade deals? Are we just stupid? What's wrong with us?
The regulatory environment is probably the biggest issue. You know, the Fufeng corn mill, which I was intimately involved in from the beginning in the process of really pushing back and stopping that up in Grand Forks, that was to be a wet corn mill that was going to have an attached fermentation capability from which they were going to make a lot of these things like amino acids. And so people challenged me that, Ross, how can you say this is bad, but on the other hand, we really need to make more of this stuff? And, you know, squaring that circle is something we need to figure out for ourselves. We do make some of them here. We just don't make enough. And the biggest reason is that energy inputs, it's a very energy intensive process. You know, several of the locations for different companies that make this are in Iowa and Nebraska, and they all utilize LP as a feedstock or as an energy source to heat the fermentation chambers, to dry the material, to make it into the white powders and granules that comes out. And LP is a byproduct, of course, of other types of energy production. And, you know, Jesse, I know you're a Texas guy. It doesn't really seem like we're in the best shape from a leadership side to incentivize, encourage, and expand natural gas production, increased use of coal, increased use of nuclear. The real limiting factor here is the regulatory appetite for expanding energy production so that we can make more of these things ourselves. We certainly have enough water. We certainly have enough corn. We certainly have enough demand. We have enough transportation infrastructure from rail and truck side to do this and to be in surplus. And without the ability to heat these things and dry them and get them in a shippable, consumable fashion, it doesn't matter what else we have from an input side.
Golly, I Again, we're speaking with Ross Kennedy. Ross, all right, everyone is watching. It's a lot more than just eggs. Everyone's watching lumber. I mean, the cost of living is going up. Everyone's standard of living right now is going down. That's just the sad state of affairs with it. Going forward, is this something that's going to take years to have the ship righted? Can a new president right the ship? Do we need Congress to write a law? Do we need Congress to repeal laws? That would be nice for the first time. What do I need to do to get back to the standard of living I had like 15 minutes ago?
It does feel like it was just 15 minutes ago. And you know, really what we were was in the peak ideal end state of globalization right before it all explodes, because globalization requires a level of compromise that can't be endured forever, which is that you make things I need and I will consume things and you get the money you need and we will never, ever, ever act against each other's best interests. And so, yeah, so globalization works right up until one of the parties realizes they have all the power, and that's the one that makes everything, and that's China. And they are asserting themselves very forcefully. So with their ability to, inadvertently or, on purpose, release a pathogen upon the world that grinds the world to a halt for a couple of years, with their ability to choke and throttle 20% of the manufacturing capacity on Earth for everything, that one country controls 20% of the world supply chain simply because it there's probably not a thing in the world that doesn't have China's fingerprints on it somehow, whether as a raw material, packaging, transportation, energy that goes into it, the physical manufacturing, in some way China touches it. And so when the spider starts tapping on its web, it's felt all throughout. And solving that issue of where do we have critical dependencies on China as quickly as possible, getting out of our own way from an energy and regulatory side, and getting very sharp and smart about ways we can incentivize reshoring as quick as possible, while also shoring up the raw material issue. Very solvable problems. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, and a lot of these things are pretty obvious to me, and they're obvious to the legislators if I speak to them. And met with the Senate, several Senate staffs last year on the issue of food security and energy security. When you explain it to them, they get it. But it's getting across that moat of political willpower to prioritize these things that are not sexy come election time. It's not sexy on TV to talk about these things, but they are urgently required and critical. But 5 years or less, we can dig out of a lot of these holes with just a pretty concentrated, coordinated effort.
Yeah, I find cheap eggs to be incredibly sexy myself. Ross, I appreciate you, my friend. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Take care.
Well, that's not very inspiring, is it? That sucks. That absolutely sucks. Should we talk about getting nuked? I guess there's a chance we're going to get nuked. Hey, by the way, do you have your emergency 3-month food kit? Did you hear the interview from the supply chain expert, the one we just did? Do you have 3 months worth of food for every single person who lives in your home? It would be a good time, like now, to go ahead and grab one of those. MyPatriotSupply.com, they've partnered with the show. I love these guys. $200 off 3-month food kits right now. It ships really fast. It ships anonymously. And by the way, please keep it that way. Keep it anonymous. MyPatriotSupply.com. Go get an emergency 3-month food kit for everyone who lives in your home. They're $200 off. Go and go now, all right? All right, let's talk about that whole nuclear thing. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I don't know why. I can't stop smiling today. There's all this terrible news and the State of the Union sucked and all that sucked. But you know what I felt when I walked in the door? This is what I felt. That's what I felt, Chris. I was so excited. I almost went Senator Cucumber. All right, quit. Focus. Let's get back to the State of the Union stuff, because we have to. Trump and DeSantis are going at each other again. That's always fun. The Trump people are a little perturbed by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That'll be fun. Bill Gates is back in the news being a turd like he always is. And World War III, which I've been talking about and we're going to address here in a second. But all right, State of the Union. Here was Joe Biden lying.
Before I came to office, the story was about
how the People's Republic of China was increasing its power and America was failing in the world. Not anymore.
That's not really true. Remember that little interview we just had? 20%? 20%? That's the percentage of manufacturing China owns. And now they're controlling. And anyway, he went on to...
I said, we're going to need oil for at least another decade. And that's going to exceed... and beyond that. We're going to need...
I've seen many, many, many things during the State of the Union. I've seen Nancy Pelosi tearing up Trump's speech. I've seen... And remember when the Democrats wore all white and were screaming the whole time? Screaming, yelling from both sides, liar, liar, liar. I've seen all these things. I've seen a Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, nod off during the State of the Union. That was particularly entertaining. And then they try to pretend like she didn't. I have never in my life heard open laughter and mockery of the president, Republican or Democrat. I've never heard it. I've heard the anger. I've heard the yelling. I've never heard open mockery like this, and it deserves to be openly mocked. We need oil and gas for at least 10 more years. Did you say that? I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it because the details of it can get boring, but I just want you to understand, wherever you are right now, unless you're listening to this thing podcasted, walking in the mountains somewhere, wherever you currently are, virtually everything around you was built with oil and gas, either as a direct ingredient or a side ingredient. Oil and gas runs the entire planet. Any effort to eliminate it within the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years is an effort at genocide. That's honestly what it is, because that's what will result in all of these things. Now, something else was weird last night. Something really, really weird. The Jill Biden and what do they call the vice president's husband? Second man, Chris? What is it? This is the problem. You know what? I'm not going to get in trouble tonight. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to get in trouble tonight. I don't even understand these terms. Joe Biden brought up Jill, but this was after Jill was playing some Greco-Roman tongue wrestling with Kamala Harris's husband.
Jill, my wife, who teaches full time, has an expression.
She doesn't teach full time. That's a lie. And did you catch the little kiss on the lips between Jill and Doug? Not going to spend a bunch of time on this either. Chris, I can't believe you haven't seen this. It's all over social media. She was hanging out with him. They were sitting. They walked up to each other and greeted each other, and they kissed on the lips. I just want to say, oh, it was a peck, Chris. It was a peck. My goodness, they didn't get to second base on the house floor or something like that, but it was still on the lips. Chris, you're a married man. How many other women do you kiss on the lips? I don't kiss them anywhere. Wait a minute. You know what? We're going to move on from this. But there's a very weird thing with the elite in this country. It goes way beyond politics, Hollywood. There's a very weird thing. It's not difficult to imagine Jeffrey Epstein having a very, very, very crowded island. You know what? Thinking about making out with Jill has me upset to my stomach. Chris, can we reach out to Ruff Greens? Because I know Ruff Greens, it's the natural thing I pour on my dog's food. I pour it on Fred's food every single morning, and it has stopped him from puking up every meal. Do we know, is Ruff Greens planning on coming out with a supplement for humans? Because I got to be honest, I've got that feeling in the back of my throat right now thinking about making out with Jill Biden. I've got that feeling where I feel a little bit nauseous. If my dog Fred never pukes, I'd like to join him in that. And by the way, your dog, you want your dog to have probiotics, digestive enzymes, omega oils, antioxidants, all natural. You want your dog to, live longer and healthier? Start putting Ruff Greens in their food. You'll see a difference. You'll see a difference in 2-3 weeks. It's amazing. They have a free Jumpstart trial bag right now. A free Jumpstart trial bag. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get yours. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. And one other thing on the Jill and Doug little kiss thing. I have kids. My kids will tell me, yours probably telling you that if you have them, that there's a pink eye outbreak out there right now. Listen to me, Chris. No, Chris, it's fine. Don't worry. Hear me out. I know we dog on Jill Biden a lot for being the foremost elder abuser in the world. And, of course, that's what she is. Yeah, just she must enjoy being first lady while her husband stumbles all over himself in front of the entire planet. However, maybe we haven't been paying Dr. Jill enough respect. There's a pink eye outbreak, and she chose to lock lips with Dome's husband? You want to talk about a likely carrier? Locking lips with the guy who kisses Dome for a living? Who knows how much pink eye Dome is walking around with? Maybe Jill's a little braver than we previously gave her credit for. Stop. Anyway, this was weird too.
The last few years, our democracy has been threatened and attacked, put at risk, put to the test in this very room on January the 6th. And then just a few months ago, an unhinged big lie. Assailed and unleashed a political violence, the home of the then Speaker of the House of Representatives, using the very same language the insurrectionists used as they stalked these halls and chanted on January 6th. Here tonight in this chamber is a man who bears the scars of that brutal attack, but is as tough and as strong and as resilient as they get. My friend Paul.
Comparing January 6th to what happened to Paul Pelosi? Using the same rhetoric, huh? He said they were using the same rhetoric. That's what he said, right? And it's interesting he would bring that up because I was thumbing through the New York Post this morning, as I do every single morning. I want to thank you for this one, New York. Video shows the moment a California doctor is run over and then stabbed by a man, by the way, a black man, muttering about, what's that word? White privilege. Boy, I feel like I've heard that term before, white privilege. I can't quite put my finger on it. Is it, basically the entire Democratic Party, the entire entertainment industry, the entire media industry talking about white privilege and white that and white this and white that and white privilege and white that. And soon some deranged lunatic in California gets in his car and mows down a doctor and then starts stabbing him. Why? Because these communists all do this and then pretend like you're the one who's guilty of it. That's why. All right. We still have, 2 hours. Now let's have a chat about bombed pipelines in World War III and the dangers of having a president who's not up to the task. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.